The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another UFC Aftermath podcast. And man, oh man, do we have a lot to talk about since the last time we talked. UFC 227 is in the books, and it's all over, folks. Down goes DJ, down goes DJ, down goes DJ. The only flyweight champion of the world, Demetrius Johnson, loses and loses his 11th title fight defense streak to Henry Cejudo, the first man to ever beat Demetrius Johnson at the flyweight division. Man, oh man, congratulations, Henry Cejudo, getting that gold UFC belt to put up on his shelf right next to his Olympic gold medal. Henry Cejudo, what a job. We're going to go ahead and hop straight into this fight and break down everything that happened in a super, super close split decision. We're going to talk about that rematch and the other rematch that was the main title for UFC 227. I'm talking about TJ Dillashaw knocking out Cody Garbrandt once again. This fight didn't even last as long as the first one. The second one, one round. It's all done. The beef between TJ and Team Alpha Male should be over. Who's going to come fight him? Uriah Faber coming out of retirement? I don't think so. 2-0. That pretty much puts the end to the rivalry. We'll talk about TJ Dillashaw and what's next for him, and then we'll go ahead and check out UFC Fight Night, Lincoln, Nebraska. You thought I was going to leave out the fight nights for you? No. We will go ahead and talk about everything that happened from Fight Night in Nebraska, who got the performance of the night, who was the knockouts of the nights, before we get to the preview of UFC 228. Yes, we finally get return of, quote unquote, the chosen one. Tyron Woodley will be back to face Darren Till of all people. Yes, the undefeated Scouser, 17-0. Darren Till is going to hop over Colby Covington and fight Tyron Woodley. What's going on with Colby Covington? He's getting sinus surgery. Is he getting stripped from the belt? Did he ever make it to Donald Trump in the White House to celebrate? Stay tuned to find out the answers to all the mysteries of the MMA world. We're going to go ahead and preview that UFC 228 championship fight, the second championship fight between Nico Montano versus Valentino Shevchenko, and what's got to be one of the biggest underdogs as a champion ever. We're going to talk about Zabit. We're going to talk about Yair Rodriguez dropping out. Hell, we're going to talk about all the news from around the MMA world because the UFC had their 25th anniversary fight summer kickoff announcement special. They announced that the time is finally here. Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. Yes, I told you. I talked about it on the UFC 223 podcast. I've talked about it since UFC 205. Hell, I've talked about it since Khabib took out RDA. He's one of the best 155ers on the planet. 26-0 facing Conor McGregor, the return of the notorious one. Oh, I can't wait. We're going to go ahead and get into that once we get to our news and notes sections. Like I said, there were tons of fights, rumors being announced. UFC 229, the rumor of Tony Ferguson returning. Could he be a replacement for Khabib or Conor McGregor? Possible pullout. Hell, we'll talk about UFC 230. There's Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier. Two more replacements right there. UFC 231, the return of Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega. UFC 232, Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes. Man, I got all the news. I'm telling you, the MMA world is on fire. We got a bunch of great fights coming up, and we're going to go ahead and kick it all off with one of the biggest upsets in UFC history. UFC 227, the flyweight title is no longer Demetrius Johnson. It belongs to the man, Henry Cejudo.
This is a championship doubleheader that has the entire MMA world buzzing.
Cody Garbrandt, incredible.
TJ Dillashaw.
It's going to be an amazing rematch for the bantamweight title.
This is a fight that has it all.
Henry Cejudo is hitting a whole new level.
Oh, Demetrius Johnson.
The greatest mixed martial artist ever. what's going to happen.
Joe Rogan, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Who knows what's going to happen? Nobody knew. Honestly, everybody said Demetrius Johnson, one of the greatest of all times. 11 straight title defenses. There's no way Henry Cejudo has any chance at all. He already beat him once. What's the point of even doing a matchup? But what I say on our last UFC Aftermath podcast, Henry Cejudo has improved significantly since he faced DJ the first time. You want to talk about Henry Cejudo 2.0, karate hottie Henry Cejudo, the man who's standing and banging now, the man who looks like he's finally getting it all together at the right time, at the accumulation of his career, the gold medalist gets the gold belt. Yes, as I said earlier, the second ever flyweight champion in the UFC, and he's the first man ever to hold the UFC gold and an Olympic gold medal at the same time. Yes, we all know Daniel Cormier training out of San Jose right here in our backyards at an AKA San Jose. Got the silver medal and the belt. Yoel Romero's got a silver medal, still hasn't got the belt. But Henry Cejudo, you want to talk about gold, baby? It's all gold right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast because this guy's an Olympic gold medalist, a UFC gold-winning champion. Man, it doesn't get better for Henry Cejudo right now. And to be completely honest with you, can I say I'm not surprised? I won't hit you with the Nate Diaz if I'm not surprised, motherfucker. Like, I was super confident. But if there was one man to take out DJ, in my mind, it had to be Henry Cejudo. Because, honestly, look at this whole entire division. Look at the flyweight division. Who has Demetrius Johnson's biggest competition been? I'll wait for you to answer because, honestly, there hasn't really been. It's been like the Ronda Rousey level when the females first came to the UFC and there really wasn't that much depth in the division. Hell, I said it for years while Ronda was still winning. I said, why is Demetrius Johnson getting no love? Ronda Rousey is the biggest thing in the world right now because she's on an 8-fight winning streak. Hell, Demetrius Johnson's on a 10-fight, 11-fight, 12-fight. The man just kept on winning. But what do you know? It finally comes to the end at the hands of Henry Cejudo. Man, oh man, this was a close one. We had a split decision fight, 3-2. Henry Cejudo gets the nod. And this is where the old mantra comes around. To be the champion, you have to beat the champion. Most people say you got to decisively beat the champion. And so that's the question we're at. Did Henry Cejudo do enough to win over Demetrius Johnson, the 11-time reigning champion? In my opinion, yes. Because like I said, if there was going to be anybody to do it, it was Henry Cejudo with his background of wrestling. He has improved so much over the past couple years. And in my opinion, he did win round 2, 4, and 5. It wasn't that decisively. Hell, Demetrius could have took one or two of those rounds. That's why it's so complicated where you got to beat the champ to be the champ. If anything, I thought it could have been maybe a draw, but DJ didn't really have any huge moments where it was a 10-8 round. Hell, the biggest moment for DJ in the fight seemed like the first 30 seconds. He goes with a low calf kick. Next thing you know, Henry Cejudo's walking around like Bambi, looking like Michael Chandler earlier in the year for Bellator, where he couldn't even walk. I thought, oh, shit. It's over. First round knockout. Here we go. But no, Henry Cejudo literally got his feet underneath him and then started coming back, started getting takedowns. Next thing you know, DJ's on his back and he cannot get up. Henry Cejudo straight out wrestled Demetrius Johnson. 5 takedowns to 0. Henry Cejudo was with perfect single legs, perfect trips. There was in the beginning, it looked like DJ was actually able to get up off his back, scramble back to his feet. But as the fight went on, Cejudo just kept the pressure on him, kept taking him down, and really neutralized DJ's offensive game off his back. People want to say, well, there wasn't too much ground and pound. He didn't do too much damage. But what he did do was neutralize Demetrius Johnson's jiu-jitsu. He smothered DJ's game plan. He didn't let him throw one submission attempt. We're talking about DJ, the man who's got the mighty trap, the mouse trap, the man who's put people in flying arm bars, the man who submitted Wilson Reese. And then you can't even get one submission attempt. So that's impressive by Cejudo, the way that he smothered him. He used that wrestling base, flattened him out on the ground. Some may say it's laying and pray strategy, but hell, it worked. DJ can't do anything when he's off his back. If he's not throwing up submission attempts, he can't get back up. I think Cejudo had the perfect game plan. I don't want to say Demetrius Johnson overlooked him. He was kind of eyeing that TJ Dillashaw fight, the Cody Garbrandt fight. We've seen this happen before with GSP and Matt Serra, with Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz. They think, hey, this is just another guy in here, especially in DJ's case. He already beat him once. So why not think he's going to do it again? But I think this perfectly sets up the trilogy for DJ versus Cejudo. And I honestly don't think it's a terrible thing for DJ because this builds up a big fight in his division. Everybody was talking about TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt. He had to move up to 135 to fight him, or they had to come down to 125. Hell, this sets up the trilogy perfect. One win apiece. Henry Cejudo did call out TJ himself after the fight because he said, hey, DJ overlooked me. How about me? How about I get TJ? I want to be the double champion. I say slow your roll, Henry Cejudo. If you could take out DJ again, then yeah, we'll talk about the fight versus TJ, talk about some super fights, but you just won the belt. Everybody wants to be a double champion these days. How about you defend your belt first? Do what DJ has been doing for the past decade, pretty much, and defend the belt. You got to give a rematch to Demetrius Johnson. If there's one man in the sport of mixed martial arts that deserves an immediate rematch, it's got to be Demetrius Johnson. Hell, we saw Cody Garbrandt on the co-main event. This card got knocked out, comes back, gets an immediate rematch. Will Stipe get an immediate rematch, one of the greatest heavyweights? We don't know. That's another conversation we'll have a little bit later in the podcast. But, man, I'm telling you, Demetrius Johnson, if anybody in the history of MMA ever deserved an immediate rematch, it's Demetrius Johnson. Hell, he's been the only flyweight champion ever in UFC history. The only one. And now there's two. Henry Cejudo, Demetrius Johnson. Man, oh man, probably the greatest flyweight fight of all time. Definitely the greatest flyweight championship fight of all time. What a fight. I can't wait to see this get run back. And like I said, this sets up the trilogy perfectly. If Dana White and the UFC make any other fight besides Demetrius versus Henry Cejudo, I don't even know what to say at that point. I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm calling it quits. Nah, not really. I love MMA too much. But this is the fight that's got to happen. They got to run it back. I want to see part three. And then we can really see what happens. Because if you might have recalled, that was my biggest thing against Demetrius Johnson. He's never revenged his loss versus Dominic Cruz. Well, now he's got a chance to revenge his only loss in the flyweight division to Henry Cejudo. Let's go. Set up the trilogy. Set up the rubber match. Set up whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I just want part three. But before we get to part three of Cejudo versus Demetrius Johnson rivalry, you know we got to go into part two of TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt, the rematch. Oh, man. Oh, man. Different fight. Same outcome. TJ Dillashaw knocks out Cody Garbrandt once again. The only thing that was different about this is it only took one round this time, and there was no moment for Cody Garbrandt. There was no moment of clarity where he almost dropped TJ this time and almost finished him, but he got saved by the bell. Well, the bell didn't even need to come into play this fight because TJ ends it in the first round, and man, oh man, did TJ look good, and did he look confident out there? I'm swear, he looked calm and confident going up against Cody. I mean, obviously, you already knocked a guy out once. You tested his power. He didn't put you to sleep. You put him to sleep. Yeah, I would have some confidence too. And man, oh man, was TJ Dillashaw just standing in the pocket and was just unloading counters. The sequence that hurt Cody, he stayed in the pocket. One counter, two counter, three counter overhand rights back to back to back. It stuns Cody. He goes in, puts him in a little headlock like his big brother, little brother, gives him a noogie, drops some ground and pound on him. It's all over. The fight is stopped. Cody Garbrandt gets stopped twice by TJ Dillashaw. And that's, like I said, it's got to be the end of it. Put a stamp on it. TJ Dillashaw, Team Alpha Male rivalry. It's over. Who else do they have at 135? What are they going to get? Darren Elkins to drop down? I don't think it's got any chance at all. TJ has been so good when he was with Team Alpha Male, and now he's even better with Dwayne Ludwig on his own. He's training in LA, Colorado, training all over the world, and TJ is there. He's here to say that he's one of the best 135ers on the planet. Hell, he had a split loss to Dominic Cruz. He went on that run against Rafael Osuna. I mean, he's done amazing things in this division. But let's go to that split loss to Dominic Cruz. That's got to be the fight that's next. It's got to be next for TJ. I don't care what anybody says. I talked about Demetrius Johnson not avenging his loss to Dominic Cruz. Hell, TJ Dillashaw, if you want to stay in here and claim you're the best bantamweight, if you're the best 135er on the planet, you got to beat a guy who's on the UFC roster who has already beat you. Yes, Dominic Cruz, TJ saying, hey, Dominic made me do 2 years of getting back to the top. Dominic's got to go win some fights. Hell, I don't care. Dominic Cruz is probably the best 135er of all time. He's beat Demetrius Johnson. He's beat TJ Dillashaw. Hell, get him back in there. Like I said on our last Aftermath podcast, I still think he's one of the top five 135ers in the division. Hell, what's next for Cody Garbrandt? Maybe he gets Dominic Cruz if you want to get an eliminator fight, but that just gets rid of your number one contender. John Lineker, throw him in there. I don't know. It's confusing, but I want to see TJ Dillashaw versus Dominick Cruz. Dominick has been calling him out ever since TJ's got this now back-to-back wins, and it looks like TJ doesn't have DJ to fight, so he needs someone to fight. And Dominick Cruz just said, hey, TJ Dillashaw, you're the knockoff version of me. You only got all your movement and everything from me. It was because you were Dominick Cruz impersonator for Team Alpha Male for Uriah Faber all those years. You were trying to emulate Dominick Cruz so much that you became Dominick Cruz. Now, I don't know if I totally believe that. It's definitely got some background to it. I think Dominick Cruz is definitely onto something there. TJ definitely does have a similar style to Dominick. You know, that footwork, that in-and-out movement, he never gets touched. But Dominick Cruz, still dealing with coming off all those injuries. He's not as old as you would think he is. I think he's got a chance, but I'd love to see TJ get a chance just to avenge his loss. I think it's possible. I want TJ versus Dominick Cruz. That's the fight to make for me right there. And then let's go ahead and finish off UFC 227. One of my most impressive fights of the night has got to be Renato Moicano. I told you guys last on our last podcast, do not sleep on Renato. He drops Cub Swanson TKO knockout in the first round. He got a performance of the night bonus. It was a completely dominant performance. He dropped Cub in the first round with a jab. Yes, with a jab. That's the kind of power that this kid has. I mean, Cub, he was in front of his LA fans. He bought a bunch of tickets, spent a bunch of money. I hope they got the refund, or I hope they just enjoyed the weekend of festivities, because it was nothing to root for Cub Swanson. Dominant performance by Renato Moicano. As I said, Renato is now, I think, 10-1, 11-1. He's only lost once in his UFC career. That one loss was to Brian Ortega. That loss happened in the third round against Brian Ortega in a fight he was winning. Brian Ortega just, of course, pulls off one of his magical third-round guillotines to get the win. So after the fight, he goes ahead and calls out Brian Ortega. He says, I want the interim belt. Yes, he's calling for an interim belt. I know it's terrible these days, but that's where the UFC is with all these interim belts getting handed out left and right, because like a lot of people, Renato had no idea what's going on with Max Holloway. With his injuries, will he be back? Is he ever going to come back? Well, I got some breaking news for you. As I said in the intro, Max Holloway will return to take on Brian Ortega at UFC 231. Yes, the blessed one is back. We are finally getting this matchup between two of the top 25-year-olds in that 145 division. Man, oh man, talk about young up-and-coming guns going after it. That's what I like to see. So it looks like, Renato, you're going to have to wait for that number one contender fight. You're going to have to wait for that title shot. But hey, maybe you could get into a number one contender fight if you challenge Jose Aldo. And that's exactly what he did. He called out Jose, said, hey, Jose, I'm coming for your spot. I want that number one contender spot to set me up. Why not? I think it would be a good fight. Let's go ahead, set it up. Call Sean Shelby, get the matchmakers. Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano. And then who else? UFC 227. It was an impressive performance between Thiago Santos and Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Fights. He put on a show. He got beat by Thiago Santos, but Thiago Santos is a mean dude who just knocks people out left and right. But that's really all there really was for UFC 227. Not the biggest names on there. We had a couple fights pull out. Alexander Gustafsson pulled out. He was actually going to fight Anthony Smith on short notice, but then turns out Gus has to get surgery. So who knows what's going to happen to Gus? I talked about it on our last podcast with DC and all the news with him. Who's going to fight? Who knows at this point in time? But what I do know is that there was fights this past weekend. Yes, UFC Fight Night Nebraska. And honestly, I think this fight night card could have been a nice prelim for UFC 227. There was actually probably more names that I was more interested to see in this free card on Fox Sports than I was for the pay-per-view undercard. But beggars can't be choosers. It was on Fox Sports, which means the pace was terrible. I hope ESPN changes that somehow when they take over, because goddamn, the pace of Fox free cards are so damn slow. But let's go ahead and talk about UFC Fight Night Lincoln, Nebraska. Justin Gaethje. The man is back. After two tough losses in absolute wars versus Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, the kid was back and he made quick work of James Vick. Justin Gaethje straight folded the Texecutioner like he was playing Texas Hold'em. I mean, you want to talk about a man going down? James Vick in this fight looked like Stephen Struve did in the heavyweight division. I'm not even lying. The whole entire fight, I was just thinking, damn, is this a mini Stephen Struve fight? Because he towers over Justin Gaethje, obviously being 6'3", fighting at 155 pounds. He was using his kicks good, But then Justin Gaethje comes in with the overhand right and just drops him. I mean, you want to talk about skyscrapers collapsing? Stephen Struve, James Vick, this is right there up there. He was out. He was still trying to take down Justin Gaethje after a fight, trying to wrestle him to the ground. He was completely out of it. Justin Gaethje, have a night. Knocked him out cold. Overhand right, and the kid is back. No damage. Everybody says, oh, he's in too many wars. He needs to wrestle. He needs to do something different. Well, he got in there quick and dropped James Vick with an overhand right, and it was night, night, night. Damn, what a call. What a fight. What a night for Justin Gaethje. And then he gets on the mic and calls out Tony Ferguson. I told you there's some Tony Ferguson rumors. He could be coming back to fight Anthony Pettis, but I'd rather see him fight Justin Gaethje. I think that's more of a fan-friendly fight. I know Anthony Pettis just got back on the winning side, but I think he is a little bit over the hill past his prime. Justin Gaethje is the people's main event. Put him on a card versus anybody. He's been fight of the night, hell, three times of his four UFC fights, and now his fourth UFC fight is a knockout. I want to see this happen. Hell, sign me up for Justin Gaethje versus Tony Ferguson, El Kikuyi. Hurry up and come back. And let's go ahead and talk about a couple other standouts from this UFC Fight Night Lincoln, Nebraska card. Michael Johnson got the win over Andre Touchy-Feely. That's two underdogs in the main event. Yeah, there were plus 130, plus 110, but these were two underdogs that I was looking to put some money on. And then you want to talk about heavy favorites. Eric Anders, you might recognize him from his fight against Lyoto Machida. He headlined it in Brazil, ended up losing a close split decision. It was kind of risky, but that's what happens when you go down to Brazil. Eric Anders is the linebacker from Alabama. He was a minus 1,000 favorite. And honestly, it was a closer fight than the odds might suggest. But then you know Eric Anders is going to come through with some type of kick, some type of elbow, some type of knockout power that is going to put you off your feet. And he comes in with the last minute knockout. I'm talking 30 seconds left in the fight. The dude was trying to get up off the ground and bam, shin to chin, drops him. Eric Anders gets the last minute knockout and another win as he looks to improve to 11-1, 12-1. Hell, I know he only got one loss, but Eric Anders continued to do great things. And then Mickey Gall, we all remember Mickey. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You choked out CM Punk. Hey, Mickey. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Mickey. Well, Mickey got another super easy rear naked choke. It looked like he was fighting maybe CM Punk's uncle. It was some 37-year-old dude with bad tattoos, so I never even really heard of him. If you're 37 years old in the UFC and I don't know who you are, that tells me everything I need to know about you. It's Conor McGregor. Who the fuck is this guy? Mickey Gall is a minus 350 favorite, and he gets a nice first round rear naked choke to put the end to the 37-year-old's misery. He gets on the mic after and calls out Sage Northcutt. I think he called out Diego Sanchez, too. Why are you calling out a guy you already beat and a guy who's pushing the CTE limits of the UFC? I thought it was a bad call out. I expected more from Mickey Gall. Also on this night, we had Brian Bam Bam Barberena. He retires Jake Ellenberger. Yes, Jake Ellenberger returned to Nebraska, his home state, put the gloves down. Sad sight to see, but really, after the elbows from Mike Perry and now getting dropped by Brian Bam Bam, yeah, it was time to go for Jake Ellenberger. And then one last name I want to touch on from UFC Fight Night Lincoln, Nebraska, is Divi's son, Figueiredo. I hope I'm getting that right. The young man out of Brazil, I don't even think he's young, he's like 30, but he's 15-0 now. He's the best flyweight contender in my eyes. He was ranked, I think, 11th, 12th, fought a guy who was ranked 6th, knocks him out in the second round. He is the next contender at 125. Sign me up for Figueroa time because I want to see him get in there. Obviously, like I said, I want the rematch of Henry versus DJ, but Divison Figueiredo is right up next in line. But if we're going to talk about who's up next in line, you got to talk about one of the biggest up-and-coming superstars in UFC, the Scouser out of London, Darren the Gorilla Till, taking on Tyron Woodley in what should be one of the biggest welterweight championship fights in a while because it's been like it's been a little lackluster under the quote-unquote Woodley weight era. I don't know about all that, but let's go ahead and jump into this UFC 228 preview. Darren Till taking on the chosen one, Tyron Woodley.
We have all the makings of a championship classic.
An excellent fight between two of the very best.
The stakes get bigger. Two belts on the line.
I do it for the glory.
He is a freak of nature.
English superstar Darren Till.
I will win that belt.
Valentina Shevchenko. That is a scary woman.
Nico Montano has star power to go with a lot of skill.
It's about to go down.
Oh, yes, it is, Joe Rogan. It's about to go down. UFC 228, Dallas, Texas. Tyron, the Chosen One Woodley, taking on Darren, the Gorilla Till. The champion with a record of 18-3, taking on the challenger with an undefeated 17-0 record. Man, oh man, I am juiced for this fight. If you've been listening to these Aftermath podcasts, I made a statement. I said, there's no way Colby Covington should be even sniffing the interim belt. I don't know why him versus RDA was for the interim belt. I made a statement. I tweeted it out a couple of times. I said, Wonder Boy versus Darren Till should have been for the interim belt, not RDA versus Colby Covington. How do you have Wonder Boy, the number one contender, not fight for the interim belt? It made no sense whatsoever. But at the end of the day, guess what happened? We've got Darren Till basically saying, fuck your interim belt, Colby Covington. I'm cutting the line, going straight to the top, straight to the Chosen One, and I'm going to rock his world, baby. I'm a light heavyweight fighting in the welterweight division. This shit should be illegal, and it should be illegal for Colby Covington to have to go on and try to put on this parade that he's still the champion. He went to the White House, went to go kick it with his boy Donald Trump. Him and Dana White went on a visit to the White House, posted all their pictures. I don't know. It makes no sense for me. I don't even know why Tyron Woodley took this fight against Darren Till. I guess he really just hates Colby Covington so much that he doesn't even want to give Colby the chance, because this inside scoop is Colby Covington, he got stripped slash not stripped. I don't know how they announce he's stripped and then he goes to the White House with the belt. But anyways, the reason why, because he just had sinus surgery. Yes, his nose had too many allergies going on. I don't know if he's doing blow or what, but Colby Covington was stripped, but he said he still had the belt. He's basically the number one contender now, but it makes no sense. Woodley comes back. I don't even know why there was an interim belt in the first place, but here we are in a situation where Woodley was finally in the situation to be the good guy, to be the hero, to be the fan favorite, because nobody likes Colby Covington, I guess, unless you're like one of the Trumpers, I guess, or something. Maybe you have fans now, but before he was all on the Trump train, literally nobody liked Colby Covington at all. He's the biggest troll in the game. He's the biggest wannabe WWE wrestler. He's the biggest wannabe Chael Sonnen. Hell, he's doing everything he can to be the heel perfectly. And I gotta admit, the kid is entertaining. He talks a lot of shit. It's not the best shit talking, but he's trying and he's making a name for himself. And he talked his way all the way into the interim belt, beat RDA, which is no joke for itself. But I don't know why Tyron Woodley would not wait for Colby Covington. I think it's an easier matchup. I think it's a bigger name matchup. I think it's a bigger pay-per-view dollar matchup, because everybody wants to see Colby lose, literally. And Colby's only strength is wrestling. And Woodley, your main background, you grew up a wrestler. You could out-wrestle him. There's not one thing better that Colby Covington could do besides maybe push the pace. Maybe he's got that Nick Diaz unlimited conditioning style. But besides that, I don't understand. For sure, to me, Darren Till is a much bigger threat. 17-0, 10 knockouts on his record. I think he's one of the best strikers in that welterweight division right now. He just beat Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy, in my opinion, is the best pure striker. We know his 57-0 kickboxing record. Hell, he beat him. It was a close fight. It was out in London. What did I say earlier about the Brazil card that Eric Anders lost to Melito Machida? If you're going to go into someone else's country, you got to knock him out. You can't leave it to the judges. And hey, at the end of the day, Wonder Boy is not really knocking too many people out. He's got a few highlight reel knockouts, but not against a guy like Darren Till, a guy who's never been dropped before. So Darren Till gets the W over Wonder Boy. There were some issues with him not making weight, but I kind of give him a pass. I guess his pregnant wife ended up in the hospital the night that he was weight cutting, so he had to go see her. I mean, if there's any excuse for missing weight, I mean, I guess that's it. Your family comes first. That's the most important thing. But honestly, back to this fight, like I said, this will be interesting because Till, he's got the power. As I said, he always says, I'm a 205-pounder. I'm a light heavyweight fighting in the welterweight division. This shit should be illegal. And if you saw the matchup from the press conference when they matched up at the UFC 25 press conference, fucking Darren Till towered over Tyron Woodley. So that size should come into play. Woodley has gone into this strategy the past couple years where he just kind of reserves all of his energy, throws one big shot, one big counter shot, one big counter shot. So people have been getting kind of tired of him. Colby Covington calls him Tyquil because he puts everybody to sleep. Like, not knocking people out, just put people to sleep because he's so boring, because Woodley's going to brag about, oh, yeah, we're in the Woodley weight era. I'm one of the greatest champions of all time. I'm the greatest welterweight of all time. And I'm like, no. You can't even sniff GSP's jockstrap. You want to talk about your run? Yes, I will give it to you. You knocked out Robbie Lawler after being a baby and waiting out for a year to get your title shot. But, hey, he earned that title shot, beat Kevin Gastelum in a split decision. He knocks out Robbie Lawler. Biggest moment of his life. Comes back. He's got Wonderboy now. Two draws, in my opinion. If the first fight was a draw, I'm scoring a second fight a draw as well. So, I don't know. You can try to change my mind with that. But that's two draws, so that's a wash. So, he did basically nothing in his first two fights. And people complain about how boring those two fights were. Me, from like a style, technique standpoint, they weren't boring at all. But to the casual fan, they were boring. Then he goes and fights Damian Maya, one of the best grapplers of all time. How do you not go headhunting? Yes, I know he had that shoulder injury. He ended up getting surgery after. But he literally threw, I believe, the least significant strikes in a welterweight championship fight ever. I think it might have just been a championship fight ever. It was one of the worst championship fights ever versus Damian Maya, and that was a joke. And then he just wants to cherry pick, and I want GSP. How come GSP won't pick me? I want Conor McGregor. How come Conor won't pick me? And everybody just got on his ass for cherry picking fights and not fighting a number one contender. But hey, now we got a number one contender that the UFC is behind, the public is behind, London is behind, and everybody is behind Darren Till. Because I'm telling you, this kid's got knockout power. He dropped Wonder Boy just as Woodley did. Did not finish him, but like I said, went to that split decision. He probably got the W just because he did drop him at home. He knocks out Donald Cerrone on his first ever main event. This kid has got powers. Like I said, he's got 10 knockouts on his record. And Tyron Woodley is not the youngest chicken in the barn anymore. Yes, he's 36 years old, and that thought came to mind because I keep on looking at their highlights for this promo, and they keep on showing Tyron Woodley knocking out Josh Koscheck. Josh fucking Koscheck. What is he even still doing around on a highlight reel? I thought that guy was done. I just saw him getting knocked out by some no-name in Bellator last year, and it was one of the best moments of my life. I can't stand Josh Koscheck. GSP worked you. Woodley worked you. Everybody has ran through him. I mean, he's just done at this point. But that's how old Woodley is. People don't recognize it. He's 36 years old. They're still showing Koscheck knockouts in his highlights. I don't know how much longer he's going to be around. And that chin cannot last forever. Yes, obviously he's fought in Wonderboy and Damian Maya the last two fights. No one is going around screaming, oh my God, watch out for the knockout power from Wonderboy and Damian Maya. No, not at all. Knockout would be one of the last things you expect in some of those fights. But Darren Till, with those 10 knockouts on his record, he is coming for Woodley's chin, and it's been tested before. If you want to go back all the way to the days of Nate Marquardt, when Nate Marquardt straight demolished Tyron's chin with one of the greatest combos I've ever seen against the fence, straight melted him. Hell, if I think that Darren Till can somehow combine the power that Nate Marquardt used in that fight and combined it with the pressure and strategy that Rory McDonald used, I definitely think that Darren Till has a chance for an upset in this fight. Now, we've got to go back and say Rory McDonald, probably one of the few guys who can out-wrestle Tyron Woodley. He just straight put on a clinic, kept Woodley on the fence, pressured him, took him down. Darren Till definitely does not have that wrestling, so it's going to be interesting to see if Woodley relies on his wrestling for this fight. But if it stays standing, I definitely think Darren Till is going to put that pressure on him. And if he's going to out-pressure him, that means Woodley's going to have to try to stop him, because Woodley, we all know, with the criticism about his gas tank and his body build and all the muscle, he wants to stay in the fight as long as he can and just get that one counter knockout. He's not going to win by volume. Like I said, Colby Covington's only hope against Woodley would be just pressure, 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 beat him with your conditioning. That's what I'm looking for Darren Till. I think Darren Till gets the job done on September 9th, Dallas, Texas. I'm going to be listening for and new welterweight champion Darren Till, winner by knockout. Yes, you heard it first right here on the Bay's Golden Days. I am taking Darren Till to knock out Tyron Woodley. And then let's go ahead to the rest of the card. Let's go straight to the co-main event. We got the women's flyweight title going on. I guess technically it's the first flyweight title defense ever. There's only been one women's flyweight title fight in the UFC, and it was won by Nico Montano, and it was won off the Ultimate Fighter. Yes, you heard me correctly. A belt was won off the TV show Ultimate Fighter. Yes, the reality show that started off the UFC, which gave him a huge boost back in the day, Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin. I love the franchise, but it is nowhere near the franchise that it used to be. In those first 10 seasons, there's probably, what, 3-4 champions that were born from those seasons. Now, it's just filling up people, trying to get reality TV stars. I don't even know at this point in the day, but I think there's one more season left before the whole entire franchise gets canceled. They tried doing the gimmick where, hey, we'll go ahead and start the women's flyweight title with a tournament on the Ultimate Fighter. And you know what the result was? Nico Montano, the number 14 seed overall, won the tournament. Yes, the number 14th seed in the house. That's not even the best 14 woman in the world for that 125 division. And you know who's the best 125 woman on the planet? I would have to put my money on Valentina Shevchenko. She came in, I think, had the first 125 fight maybe like a year ago, close to, fought some Brazilian girl and just absolutely murdered her. I don't know how the fight even lasted longer than a round, but she absolutely murdered her. Valentina Shevchenko is a minus 1,000 favorite. Yes, 1,000. She's a 10-1 favorite to win over the champion, Nico Montano. I think this is the biggest disrespect for a quote-unquote champion ever in UFC, maybe ever in fighting history, maybe in sports history, to be plus 675, minus 1,000. Yes, I know Shevchenko is an absolutely woman beater. I thought in that second fight she beat Amanda Nunes. Those were close back and forth wars, her fighting a bigger woman. She's now going down to 125. This weight class is more of her natural body weight. Hell, I think Shevchenko is going to murder her, but minus 1,000 odds, that's so disrespectful. I mean, you might just want to throw some money just for the super odds anyways on Nico Montano, because, hell, no one expects her to win the Ultimate Fighter tournament. No one's expecting her to win this fight. We'll see what happens. Maybe she can come out and shock the world. Hell, crazier things have happened in MMA. It's any given day, any given Saturday night. Hell, we've all seen it before with the upsets. I don't even want to get into them because some of them really hurt my feelings. Matt Serra, GSP. But this would definitely be right there up on that list as a champion beating a challenger as one of the biggest upsets, especially in women's MMA. Crazy to think about, but at the end of the day, I've seen Valentina fight way more. I've seen Valentina be in there with the best woman on the planet, and I've seen Valentina straight dominate girls. I don't want to mess with the bullet. I'm taking Valentina minus 1,000. Hell, I'll put up $10 to win a dollar at this point. Give me Valentina. She will be the new women's flyweight champion. And then we got a lot of females on the card. We got a couple strawweight fights, bantamweight. Hell, we got Jessica Andrade taking on Karolina Kovalevich. I think that's going to be one hell of a fight that you could set that up. Gets the winner, number one contender spot. We'll see what happens there. Then there's also Carlo Esperano versus Tatiana Suarez. Tatiana Suarez is another Ultimate Fighter winner. She is undefeated, going against the first female Ultimate Fighter winner, Carlo Esperanza. Yes, that's how she got the 115 belt. So I guess I can't talk shit about the 125 tournament because they did the 115 tournament. But I can't talk shit because how long did Carlo Esperanza hold on to the belt? Not too long once Joanna Jędrzejczyk came around. So it just shows you shouldn't have a belt. I mean, I'm all for the Grand Prix and the tournament to get a belt, but not an Ultimate Fighter reality TV show. I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe I'm just hating on it. But the Ultimate Fighter is pretty much at the end of its run. It's getting taken over by Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender fights. And at the end of the day, I would just rather see live fights than edited reality shows that I got to wait a whole half a season to wait to see who wins at the end. I don't know. It's a lot of hoopla, but I don't want to get into that too much because that was part of the news is the new Ultimate Fighter season. The last one, Kevin Gastelum versus Robert Whittaker. So they're going to fight. They're going to have a bunch of heavyweights fighting. So we'll see if it's interesting. The Ultimate Fighter season 10 with Rampage Jackson versus Rashad Evans was heavyweights. That's the season we had Kimbo Slice, Brandon Schaub. So it's going to be interesting. You can always use a little bit more heavyweight talent in the UFC. But let's go ahead and finish off this UFC 228 card because my favorite fight just got canceled. Yes, Zabih Magomedsharipov versus Yair Rodriguez is officially canceled. Yair Rodriguez has pulled out again with another injury, and I'm sure Dana White is redder than a tomato, just going GoofCon level 4 because this is not the first time it's happened. Hell, he cut Yair Rodriguez, one of the biggest up-and-coming superstars in the Mexican market, because he refused to take the fight versus Zabih in the first place. Now he finally comes back, resigns, and said, okay, I'll take the fight, but now he's pulled out with an injury. So they are still looking for a replacement. I hope Zabit still gets a fight. I want to see him fight. The guy's amazing. He's right up there with Khabib with the next wave of Russian superstars. If you can't get him for UFC 228, help push him back to that UFC Russia card. I don't mind seeing him there either. Hell, put him on the main spot over Olenek versus Mark Hunt. I'm sure you can find someone to fight him against. But this is a big card if Zabit stays on it. If not, I'm still going to be excited about the title fight. But Zabit versus Yair was definitely my potential fight of the night. But now that is off. Let's see who else is on the card. We got Jimmy Rivera versus John Dodson. That's always a good matchup. John Dodson always comes to fight. Jimmy Rivera has been one of the best in the division for a long time. Slipped on his last fight. Lost to Morales, but he's back looking for revenge. Rivera is the favorite, slight 127 favorite over plus 107 underdog for Dodson. And then we got Aljamain Sterling versus Cody Stanman. Aljamain looked pretty good his last fight. I'm not going to lie. It seems like the weight cut is not affecting him as much anymore. We'll see if Sterling can bounce back and get another big win versus Cody Stanman, who has looked pretty good in the UFC. But UFC 228, Dallas, Texas, I think it's going to be a pretty dope card. Definitely, you just want to look out for the main fight, Darren Till versus Tyron Woodley. And like I said, I'm going with the gorilla. I'm going with the Scouser. I'm going to hop, skip across the pond to pick Darren the Gorilla Till to put an end to the Woodley weight era. Whatever the hell that is. I'm done with Woodley. Pass on the belt. GSP still the real champion. GSP still the lineal champion. He never lost the belt. Sorry, I had to get it in there one time. But hey, talk about GSP. Let's talk about some of the biggest superstars in the game, because there are rumors that GSP could be looking to come back. Rumor is he wants the winner of Khabib versus McGregor. So let's go ahead and hop into the news and notes, because the UFC, like I mentioned, had their 25th annual summer kickoff press conference, whatever you want to call it, and they announced a gang of fights. I'm going to go ahead and just name the big ones real quick. UFC 229, I told you it was coming. Las Vegas, Nevada, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. Yes, this is a collision course that has been waiting for years and years to come. It seems like I've been calling for this fight for at least 3 years now. People have always said, Khabib, can he stay healthy, healthy enough to get the belt? Well, he got the belt, beat Raging Al-Ai Quinta. That's not the championship level belt. So he took Conor's belt. Now Conor's going to come back and try to take his belt back. Oh man, I cannot wait. And I've already talked about this in depth pretty good. If you want to go back and listen to my UFC 223 Aftermath podcast, you will hear all about the bus situation, all about the Dolly situation, all the legal fees. Everything you need to know about Khabib versus Conor was all in that UFC 223 podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and leave it there for you, because, of course, after UFC 228 Aftermath podcast, I'm going to break down UFC 229, and I'm going to give you the full in-depth, no holds barred, straight shit talking, uncut, unedited, give you all the download details of Khabib versus McGregor, because man, oh man, this is probably going to be the biggest fight in UFC history. Yes, you heard me correctly. I wouldn't be surprised if this fight sells over 2 million pay-per-views. We're looking at a blockbuster pay-per-view card. And man, oh man, it can only get better. As I mentioned earlier, the rumors of Tony Ferguson fighting Anthony Pettis on that card. Could you imagine having Tony in your back pocket in case anything happens? Because hell, we've seen Khabib pull out of fights because he ate too much tiramisu and fucked up his weight cut. As fucked up as it is, I don't mean to joke about it. Khabib's my boy, but shit has happened before. How many times have Khabib versus Tony Ferguson been scheduled to fight and it falls through? Nothing happens. Well, not this time. At least I'm hoping and praying. Sacrifice whoever you need to the MMA gods. Give us Khabib versus McGregor. Tony Ferguson on that card. Like I mentioned, Anthony Pettis, Justin Gaethje. Those are a couple of names floating out there. These are just rumors. Nothing is solidified yet. But the biggest replacement name, even if you want to get bigger than Tony Ferguson, would have to be the return of Nate Diaz. Yes, Nathan is back at UFC 230 Madison Square Garden. He will be taking on Dustin Poirier. I wish this was a five-round matchup, but hey, Nate's coming back. We don't want to complain. Three rounds from Nate, but that's if Nate even still fights, because at the press conference, they announced him. He came out, talked a little shit, and then they played the promo versus Khabib versus Conor. And you know what Nate did? He said, fuck y'all. Gave a couple middle fingers, walked off the stage, tweeted, fuck the UFC, fuck this fight, I'm out. Well, sounds like Nathan Diaz to me. So we will see if Nate does come back. There's still rumors out there that Nick said he'll come back. Nick says he'll fight anybody. He's the big money fight. The Diaz brothers, I love them. I hate them. Can't get enough of them. Can't live with them. Can't live without them. That's the Diaz brothers in MMA. All the honey dicking that goes on from them in GSP. Once they step in the octagon and lock those doors, it's some of the most entertaining minutes of MMA anywhere in the world. But let's go ahead and keep on talking about some of these big names that came out announcing their fights. We got Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega going down at UFC 231. The blessed one is finally going to make his return. I can't wait. As I mentioned, two of the top 25 and under prospects in all of MMA. This will be a banger. Brian Ortega has some of the best jiu-jitsu in the world. But if Max Holloway can keep it standing, I got to stick with the blessed one and stick with Max Holloway. And then UFC 232, we got Chris Cyborg coming back to fight Amanda Nunes. Yes, this is the super fight of women's MMA. I talked about it last year when Cyborg fought Holly Holm about how that's potentially the biggest fight in MMA. I think this one ups it because Cyborg ran through Holly. Holly beat Ronda. Now she wants the other girl who beat Ronda. She's trying to just cross them off her list to get rid of any legacy that Ronda Rousey had. Because Chris Cyborg is the greatest female fighter of all time. I don't care what anybody says. And she's going to have a chance to prove it on the final pay-per-view card of the year versus Amanda Nunes. And man, oh man, I can't wait. Another super fight, another great fights, and just a great lineup of fights because I didn't even get into all of them. 230, there's a whole middleweight tournament going on. We got Israel Adonise versus Derek Brunson. Jacare Souza is taking on David Branch. Yoel Romero was supposed to fight Paulo Costa. Yoel came on Ariel Helwani's MMA show, said his eye surgery is going to have to delay that fight. Paulo Costa said he'll wait. But I want to see Borashina in there, their eraser. And then also on that UFC 230 card, I got Lando Venero, Brian Keller. I mean, you want to talk about names. I didn't even get into the prelims of UFC 229. You got Sean O'Malley on the prelims. Ovince St. Preux versus Dominic Polo races. The little Pettis brother will be joining the big Pettis brothers. We got two Pettis brothers on one pay-per-view card at UFC 229. And Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, will be on that thing too. Man, oh man, I cannot wait. We got stack fights. Oh man, MMA, it's a beautiful thing. Keeps on coming every week, every month. I don't believe in the oversaturation rumors. I want as much MMA as heavenly possible. Keep it coming. Put it on my plate and keep on shoveling it down because I want it and I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm going to cover it all right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. You know, we got to do these UFC Aftermath podcasts. We gave you the UFC 227 review, give you the UFC 228 preview. We will be back to review UFC 228 and preview UFC 229. Conor McGregor versus Khabib Nurmagomedov. The biggest fight in MMA history. Man, oh man, I cannot fucking wait. I don't know how many times I gotta tell you I can't wait. But God, we're getting close. And let's just please, please pray to the MMA gods that this fight finally fucking happens. But until then, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, however you get your podcast from. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, whatever social media you use at Bay's Golden Days. I'm at Marcus Boucher. I will always pick my fight picks every Saturday night before the fight. Podcast, no podcast, aftermath or no aftermath. I always post my fight picks on Twitter. So go ahead and give your boy a follow. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for tuning into these fights. And thank you for being an MMA fan. I'm doing my mission here at KNBR 680 to try to get MMA on air as much as possible. We're moving to ESPN. Next thing you know, MMA is just going to keep building and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So thank you for rocking with me. And thank you for being a fan of the Bay's Golden Days and the UFC and mixed martial arts in general. So let's go ahead and end this podcast off with that UFC 25th anniversary video where they came out and announced the full lineup of fights for the rest of the year. So here they are, folks, the rest of the 2018 UFC fight schedule.
This is the moment you've all been waiting for.
This is going to be a crazy fight. Oh, he tagged him with the right hand.
Trying to finish this fight.
That's it. That's it.
James Vick.
Uppercut. Right hand.
That's it.
Justin Gaethje.
Every fight he goes to war. Flyweight division. Say hello to your worst nightmare.
There's the tap. Valentina Shevchenko by submission.
Nico Montano, the first flyweight female champion ever.
I believe I'm the best fighter alive. I say it time and time again.
I am the best.
It's a rally of punches here.
What a stoppage!
Darren Till shocks the world!
This belt ain't going anywhere until I get done fighting. I want to be a legend. I want to be a great in this sport.
Big shot!
That's it!
Tyron Woodley!
Huge shot by Olenek, and that is it.
Alexei Olenek.
Oh, just like that, Mark Hunt by knockout. Oh, he got rocks. It is all over.
Rover Teixeira is back.
I'm not the most technical person, but I've hit hard.
Oh, one punch knockout. Jimmy Manuel.
People are always saying about the talk, and I talk, and I talk, but guess f***ing what? I back it up.
Oh!
He just slapped him!
Like that, Conor McGregor!
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
I'm on a different level.
Oh!
I'm gonna push him, take him down, make him tired, and I'm gonna finish him.
Khabib Nurmagomedov! Wow!
Sorry, I have to smash it.
Oh! Uzdemir pushes Manuel down, wow. He's out! Volkan Uzdemir does it again! Oh! Drops him with the elbow! Big kick from Lionheart!
That's it!
Anthony Smith! Ah, yes, the MMA leader has once again descended upon the city that never sleeps. Live inside Madison Square Garden in New York, New York.
I'm not out there trying to win decisions or trying to outpoint guys.
Oh! Poirier pouring it on. That'll do it.
I'm headed to the top, and this is just part of my journey.
You know, I feel untouchable.
I don't give a f-.
Everybody's getting in a cage and I find another human being.
He tapped! He tapped!
Better step it up for this one.
Nate Diaz!
With the strikes, that hurt him.
That is it!
Israel Adesanya.
Middleweights, I'm the new dog in the yard.
Oh, that is it! Derek Johnson does it again!
I'm a bad man right now.
Oh, down goes Hall!
That's it!
Paulo Costa does it again!
This young man's for real. Flying knee, he knocked him out.
Good is this?
Oh, we got him! Chan Sung-jung knocks out Dennis Bermudez! The Korean Zombie back with a vengeance!
Oh, Edgar looking for the finish!
He's out! He's in!
It's all over! Frankie Edgar!
You do not want to miss this, ladies and gentlemen.
It's 100% guarantee that I knock you out.
It's lights out!
On this season of The Ultimate Fighter, 16 of the most talented fighters will battle it out for a six-figure UFC contract. They'll be coached by two of the biggest superstars in the UFC today.
Oh! Kelvin Gastelum! Robert Whittaker! It's time!
Sold it, sold it, sold it.
Stay gold, pony boy.